T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now, Dr. Merrill Matthews, resident scholar for the Institute for Policy Innovation, a nonprofit public policy research organization based in Dallas. Dr. Matthews, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me.
It's an interesting time. We could even see a vote this week on tax reform, which is crazy. They said as early as Thursday. Do you think anything's going to get done?
That's been the goal for a while, and what I'm understanding is that the Republican leadership in the House feels confident enough that they're going to have the votes to get this passed, that they're going to try to move it on Thursday, and they may not include something that they had been considering including, which was a repeal of the individual mandate that comes under Obamacare, the mandate that requires people to have health insurance. They were considering repealing that as a way to get some savings and try to get a few more votes. My understanding is they think they may be able to get it without that. I'd say that's crazy. You ought to put that in there anyway, but we'll see what they come up with. But they seem to think they're going to be able to do something on Thursday.
Yeah, how much money would we save if we were able to get rid of the individual mandate from Obamacare?
It's a really interesting question, because prior to this discussion on the tax reform, when members of Congress asked the Congressional Budget Office what kind of savings would there be if you eliminate the individual mandate, they'd always said around $418 billion over 10 years. That's a lot of money, considering the tax bill is going to cost about $1.5 trillion over 10 years. That would get you nearly a third of the cost of it. But when Republicans came back to them a few weeks ago and said, give us an estimate now, they came back and said, well, we think it's going to be less. It's now about $338 billion. Not sure why we lost $80 billion in that, but and they haven't explained it, but they still think that it means $338 billion in savings, because the government's not having to pay subsidies and other things of that nature. And so that's a huge chunk of money, which still gets you 20, maybe 25% of the cost of the tax bill.
Yeah, so this is why I'm confused. Why wouldn't they want to repeal that when they go to vote on Thursday?
See, that's an interesting question, because nearly every one of them, and you just had the issue in the Senate with two or three members, but nearly every one of the Republicans voted for repeal, campaigned on repeal. So if all you're doing, you're not taking away subsidies from people or anything, you're just simply saying that you don't have to have insurance, and so some people might not get insurance then. I don't think it'd actually make much difference, because all the Obamacare subsidies are still available. Yeah, why you wouldn't just go ahead and say we're doing it? It's the only thing it looks like they're going to be able to do on the Affordable Care Act, so it makes perfect sense to me to repeal it. Interestingly, the Senate doesn't do it as well, but Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky has just come back and said he's going to try to introduce a provision to have the Senate include a repeal of the individual mandate. I think, given the promises Republicans made, that's a no-brainer, but apparently they don't have any brain because they don't want to do that.
What a crazy story with Senator Rand Paul, too. We're still trying to figure out what happened there. It sounds like he almost doesn't want to talk about it, is what it sounds like to me. It's he's almost done with it all.
Wasn't it strange? Because initially they came out and said there was a dispute over landscaping or something like that, and then people came up and said, well, nobody said that except the attacker's attorney, and nobody seems to be confirming that. Rand Paul isn't talking. It's apparently a next door neighbor, and they've been living next to each other for some time. So it's unusual. You would think normally the press would be covering more of this issue and be digging in more to the issue, but that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I figured if it was between me and a neighbor I've known for, you know, a couple of decades or whatever, was it 17 years or whatever they lived next to each other, I would kind of be the same way. I'd be like, I'm just going to deal with my neighbor. I don't want everyone else trying to deal with it for me. I feel like I might be the same way in a situation like that. But with the going back to the Obamacare and what may be happening with the individual mandate, one of the things you wrote in The Hill, which is interesting too, is that even if they were to drop the individual mandate, it would really have little impact on those uninsured. So ultimately, the same effect of what people on both sides want, making sure people get insured, I think they'll both get what they want, even if the individual mandate's dropped.
I think that's largely true. And people haven't covered this nearly enough. But prior to the passage of Obamacare, you typically had 16 to 17 million people in the individual market in health insurance. That's where people go out and buy their own health insurance coverage. They anticipated initially that there would be more like 30 or 35 million in the individual market. That didn't happen. Right now, it's roughly stayed in the 16 to 17 million people, which is about where we were, have been for the last decade, long before Obamacare was passed. But the people are different in the sense that a lot of the people in the individual market now have major medical conditions. They're very high cost users, and people who were in the individual market, like my wife, are no longer in there because the premiums are so high and they keep canceling their policies.
Yeah, they have to do something, though. I mean, the way it's going, they have to do something because I truly believe that it will implode if nothing is done. So if they do nothing, that's like the worst case scenario to me.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. This thing is collapsing. We've known it for a while. It's in health insurance. It's called the death spiral. And death spirals in health insurance have been around for a long time. Anytime the pool gets too many sick people as a proportion of the pool, people in the pool, premiums start going up. More and more people start dropping out, and you get a pool that's very expensive with relatively few very sick people in there, and that's what we're seeing in it right now.
Have they mentioned anything about the medical device tax? Because that was something they were trying to look into before, but I haven't heard much of.
I have not heard much discussion of that at all, and it's changing so rapidly, and it seems to me a lot of this is behind the scenes as to what's going to change. So, for instance, the House bill wants to repeal some of the tax credits that are available, tax breaks, subsidies, and tax credits for the renewable energy industry. The Senate bill doesn't want to do that, and I think they've been trying to negotiate a little bit between themselves on there, but it's hard to know exactly where they're going to be at any point in time because it's so fluid as they try to get to 218 votes in the House.
Dr. Merrill Matthews, resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation, joins us in Overnight America. We'll continue our conversation with him. The big vote that could be happening this week. I mean, we're just a couple of days away. Republicans could push a big tax reform. More on that and how even solar credits play into it coming up in Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can reach out and even join the conversation on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Joining us now, a resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation. It's a nonprofit public policy research organization based in Dallas. Dr. Merrill Matthews, friend of the show. Always a pleasure to have him here on Overnight America. Out of curiosity, late last night, the president, I think he was still in the Philippines when he tweeted out that there was going to be a major announcement as soon as he gets back. Do you have any idea what that might be about?
My assumption is it's going to be on trade, but I don't know that. He sort of made that when he was on his Asian trip. He made that statement a few times. Generally, I think in the context of trade issues. So my assumption was it was probably going to have to do with trade, but your guess is as good as mine right now.
Okay, I didn't know. There's a lot going on right now when it comes to the debate that's going on, and maybe a vote on the taxes. I was curious. There could be something. I don't know. Or who knows? Maybe Jeff Sessions has a very special announcement coming up.
That could be it, but it's also on NAFTA. NAFTA is in they've been talking about NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Trump campaigned on eliminating that. They're now negotiating that. It might be that it's going to be an announcement saying we've come to some basic principles on that.
You know, a lot of what foreign countries, we've seen a lot of countries really lean into renewable energy, green energy. Some countries' goal is to go fully green in the next couple of decades. Mm-hmm. You wrote about this
and
in the Hill.
And some cities in the U.S.
Yeah, a lot of cities in the U.S., including here in St. Louis, they've talked about doing that in the next couple of decades. So you had an article in the Hill, Taking Back Renewable Energy's Taxpayer-Funded Honeypot. Now, that could play into the tax debate that we're having this week, too.
That's absolutely right. The tax debate over whether or not they're still looking for some savings on this, you can save that. And my biggest issue is you don't want the federal government picking winners and losers. You want the federal government to create a set of rules and then let the various types of companies and industries compete on that level playing field. And we have been subsidizing wind, solar, biofuels now, at least ethanol doesn't really have a subsidy, but it has a mandate that you have to have in your gas tanks. We've been doing various things at the federal and state level to try to prop these things up and keep them going because they're not economically competitive without taxpayer funding. And I would like to see that pulled back. We've been doing this now for 40 years. It's time to let them stand on their own 2 feet.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at some of the revolutions that have been going on in what Elon Musk's dreams are when it comes to renewable energy and what he's doing with these solar panels and these batteries, things like that. For the most part, the private sector, it feels like they got a pretty good grasp on a way to make money off of this. We should just let them run with it.
Well, plus the tax credits make a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett was asked in 2014 about his investment in wind farms because he's been investing a lot in wind energy. And I'm quoting from him. He said, for example, on wind energy, we get a tax credit if we build a lot of wind farms. That's the only reason to build them. They don't make sense without the tax credit. Close quote. Mm-hmm. And I note that he doesn't say it's a good reason to invest in these things. He said it is the only reason to invest in these. And the Financial Times followed him up right after that and tried to find out how much money his companies are getting from these various energy tax breaks. And they came up with about $1.17 billion over 2 years. So here we are, Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, and taxpayers are funding his projects to $1.17 billion over 2 years. And I'm wondering, is this what Democrats mean when they say tax breaks for the rich?
You wrote about this, too, when it came to the reasons to do something like this. I don't even know if the technology's there, because you mentioned just a second ago, but you talked about how if it wasn't for these subsidies, none of this would make any sense. No one would be investing in this. So why not wait until the technology's there before we actually put a solid investment in it if we decide to do it then?
Because they argue that the technology won't be there unless they're getting those investments, which sort of lower the R&D cost and allow them to eventually reach economies of scale. But right now, China is able to produce these solar farms for a lot less than we are. Mm-hmm. And they're not solar farms, but solar panels. And so the solar industry, the solar panel production industry here is trying to talk Donald Trump into imposing a tariff on China so to keep them from coming in so that our solar industry can't get the cheaper solar panels there, which means if Donald Trump does that, we end up paying more for solar, and so they'd have to have more tax credits to try to make that affordable.
Well, what about the companies that have been trying to get a solar panel on the southern border wall? Is that still a reality?
That was proposed. Donald Trump came up and said it was his idea, and then some other people said, well, actually, no, we've been talking about it long before that. But I thought that was actually ingenious. If you could put that solar panel up there, I saw a thing 6 years ago, on the notion that you could put a type of solar panel into streets so that we would be driving on the solar panels and you would be able to, so the solar panels are not out there affecting anything. In fact, I saw something, 4 or 5 months ago where a company has come up making roof tiles that look like shingles on your roof, and they're actually small solar panels, and so you cover your roof instead of with regular shingles, you cover them with these shingle-looking solar panels, and you've got your whole house covered with one big solar panel that looks like shingles. Another ingenious idea, but let's be able to let's let them compete on a regular basis. And some of us, if we're thinking, you know, my electricity bill will go down, I'd be willing to pay a little more to have those kinds of shingles than regular shingles if they're going to save me on my electricity bill.
Yeah, 100% agree on that. And even IKEA said they were going to start to offer it in the future. One of the problems they have, though, is the battery. You have to buy this really expensive battery in order to really harness it in the off hours. And I thought it was interesting that Elon Musk said that he wanted to build a solar power grid in Puerto Rico because that power grid is completely devastated. You know, why not let him experiment with something like this? And that could be a way to maybe revolutionize the solar here in the United States, with people experimenting in ways like that could actually help the people of Puerto Rico.
Well, he is something of a genius in being able to come up with these new ideas on things he's doing. But his car company, Tesla, exists largely because, number one, you get the $7,500 tax credit for buying electric vehicles. Mm. Republicans are proposing taking that away. But the other thing is they get a lot of credits from the government because they're producing carbon-free cars. They get credits from the government for that, and they sell those credits to other companies that are producing carbon-emitting cars. And I think at least in a few years, Tesla's primary profit source was being able to sell those carbon credits.
Oh, I had no idea that was a part of their business model. That kind of ruined some of the goodwill that I had towards him and the things he was doing. But no, it's still, I mean, it's interesting. We need people like that to revolutionize things. We do need people.
Absolutely. And he may come up with those batteries that we're able to put in a house to sort of offset at night when the solar's not going and so forth. So I'm hoping he's innovative enough to come up with that.
Yeah, I think I've seen some photos. They're about the size of a furnace. These are huge batteries. Plus, they go out fairly easy. So there's still a long way to go. All right. So where can people read about your work? I've been reading your articles in The Hill, but you're part of the Institute for Policy Innovation. Yeah. Where can people find you?
It's easy to find us, IPI.org, IPI.org, and all our information is available there, free for people to read, consume, and share.
Dr. Merrill Matthews, always a pleasure to talk to you on Overnight America. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
You know, when I messaged and talked to Merrill, that was actually a little bit earlier today. I recorded that, as you can imagine, 11 o'clock at night. Not prime time for booking some high-profile guests. But some things have changed a little bit since then. CNBC reported this one. Senate leaders say they will consider repeal of Obamacare mandate. So it looks like if they do vote on this Thursday, and right now it looks like they have the support still with 50 senators committing to saying yes to this tax plan, it looks like the individual Obamacare mandate could be going away as well as part of this. It's pretty big news. Decisions mean that yet again, 2017, they'll attempt to gut a key element of the Affordable Care Act. Senator Tom Cotton in Arkansas says, quote, "I'm pleased the Senate Finance Committee has accepted my proposal to repeal the Obamacare individual mandate in the tax legislation." Majority Whip John Cornyn from Texas said that we're going to repeal the tax on poor Americans. But if you go back down to it, they asked McCain about it, said he still wants to read the entire bill. He's someone that gave the thumbs down during that classic debate there a little while ago. But killing the individual mandate would lead, what they say, fewer people on health insurance. But according to Dr. Merrill Matthews, it's not going to be that many less people uninsured. Here's what he said. As long as the taxpayer-backed insurance subsidies continue to flow and the Medicare expansion remains, ending the mandate will have little impact on the number of uninsured. So it depends. The taxpayer-backed insurance subsidies and the Medicare expansion. And I think the Medicare expansion is key because when it came to the budget originally in President Trump, he did continue to expand Medicare, but he didn't expand it at the rate that they believed it needed to expand. So they actually expanded it at a slower rate than what they thought was necessary in order to keep it up. But the way things are going right now, in, I forgot how many years it is from now, like 13 years or 20 some years from now, was it 2040? I think it was maybe 23 years from now, 2040, if I remember the statistic correctly. If the need for Medicare and Medicaid in our health insurance continues at the same rate it is right now, we'll essentially need to dedicate almost our entire budget in order to just pay for it. Healthcare is a major, major concern that everyone needs to look at. We have to fix it now. None of this waiting for this Obamacare to implode stuff. That's not going to cut it. So coming up next, something that was said at a town hall meeting with Vice President Joe Biden, who's making his rounds because he has a new book out. He is insane. okay, he's not insane, but what he said was something that I thought was pretty shocking. And the fact that no one in the audience like groaned or yelled at him, I felt like if I was in that audience, I would have yelled and said, how dare you? You're going to hear what he said coming up next in Overnight America, KMOX.
KMOX stands for news.
Kind of interesting. A couple of quick clips I wanted to play about the tax vote that will probably go up on Thursday. Well, could go up on Thursday, as fast as Thursday. In case you're wondering what Pelosi and Schumer think about it. Oh, you weren't wondering? Oh, in case you were, here's the Honorable Nancy Pelosi.
The GOP tax scam has exposed House Republicans' true contempt for the middle class. We have to save the country from this unfair tax scam.
I don't know. Not buying it. Chuck Schumer.
Both the House and Senate bills would levy a suburban tax on middle-class families from coast to coast and in every state. While they're showering the wealthy and biggest corporations with tax giveaways, they're hiking taxes on middle-class and upper-middle-class families in the suburban swing districts and states all across the country. The closer this bill gets to becoming law, the greater the threat it poses to Republican majorities in the House and Senate.
I should have the clip. I don't have an audio of this, but Schumer was also quoted as saying something that obviously he wasn't trying to sensationalize this at all, but he said, Thelma and Louise are about to jump off the cliff or about to drive off the cliff. Of course you wouldn't try to sensationalize this, would he? So this is going to continue to get some debate. I'm curious what the updated numbers are, but you know, I do think getting rid of the individual mandate's a good thing. And even if it's less than a skinny repeal, it's something. And it looks like they have enough support for it, with or without John McCain. All right, so let's move on. Because something that happened earlier today was with Joe Biden, everyone's favorite wacky uncle character or grandpa character. Joe Biden was on the Today Show, and he was asked what I thought was a pretty fair question. Former vice president, where he was asked a question regarding the Texas church gunman and should he have been allowed to have a weapon or what's going on with that. Now, that's kind of the setup to this question, because listen to how this woman phrased her question and then listen to the answer. And it made me want to yell out on behalf of everyone in that auditorium that were sitting there and listening to him.
Yeah, Brianna with a question about gun control.
Hello. Hi. So with the tragedy that just happened in Texas, my question is, how do you justify the Democratic view on gun control when the shooter was stopped by a man who was legally licensed to carry a gun?
Okay, good question. Man legally licensed to carry a gun. He's someone that if it wasn't for him, this person may have gotten away or could have done more damage if it wasn't for this person. And think about the efforts. The man goes in, runs out, grabs his legal firearm, and this crazy gunman runs out, tries to escape. This person, with the help of a good Samaritan, hops in the person's truck. They pursue this person while getting the police on board, calling them and saying, this person just shot up a church. Follow them so they don't get away or do something else stupid or crazy. Ultimately, the shooter, the coward, takes his own life, and the person that defended the church as a hero. But to Joe Biden, he might not be. He might have been someone that was not a hero. He was someone that was a criminal.
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are... I wrote the last serious gun control.
All right, I don't even want to listen to the rest, but I'll play it for you. So the man that actually stopped this tragedy from expanding even further, the person that stood up to the madman that came in and shot a church, the person that was a law-abiding, in fact, had the proper, was doing things, I think, in a proper way. I haven't heard of this story where the person did anything illegal. And Joe Biden comes in and says, well, he probably shouldn't have had that gun either. What? What? You're saying it's rational that some people do not own guns, but there's nothing that can be done if a crazy person obtains a gun legally. Apparently, the person that stopped this tragedy from expanding even further was, in his eyes, someone that was a crazy person who had a gun illegally, too, right? Joe. Vice President Biden, I'm so disappointed. If I was in that audience, I would have yelled out, you got to be kidding me. You're saying that during this tragedy, you're going to target the guy that stopped this. That's who you're going to decide to target? Here, I'll play his full answer so you hear it in the full context. This is on the Today Show.
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are... I wrote the last serious gun control law that was written. It was law for 10 years, and it outlawed assault weapons, and it outlawed weapons with magazines that had a whole lot of bullets, and so you can kill a whole lot of people a lot more quickly, number one. Number two, it's just rational to say certain people shouldn't have guns. Now, the fact that some people with guns are legally able to acquire a gun and they turn out to be crazy after the fact, that's life. There's nothing you can do about that. But we can save a lot of lives, and we've stopped tens of thousands of people from getting guns who shouldn't have guns.
Yeah, boy. All right, there you go. Oh, Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States of America. You could have used that as an ability to really condemn what that crazy madman with a gun was doing. You could have condemned, and you could have said, if it wasn't for law-abiding citizens, people that actually treat the gun laws and follow the gun laws, if it wasn't for those people, things could have been a lot worse. This woman goes into it and knows that this person made a difference in a lot of people's lives. They know that this person that stood up for that church made a huge difference. And we look at the victims of that church from just, and we're talking about infants all the way to elderly. The people in that church did not deserve that crazy, crazy man to walk in and do this. The person should have been in a database that would not allow him to buy a gun to begin with. And there's major questions of why that database wasn't updated with his information. You could have answered any of those things. You could have said any of that. But why would you even bring up the doubt that the person that stood up for those people, the man that stopped this Texas church shooter, why would you even bring his name into it and try to make it sound like he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing? Why? It's weird. It's of all the things you could have said, it's weird that you would try to condemn that person. Of everyone there, that person. Coming up next, I want to talk about something that's happening in France. And this is why we look at what's happening in foreign countries, too. It's pretty disgusting, if you ask me. But something that's happening and the debate that's going on in France with the legal age of consent, with all of this talk about Roy Moore here in the United States, what age should be the legal of consent? Well, France is debating this right now. And you may be a little surprised that they want to lower the age to, get this, 13. That story up next on KMOX.
Thursday night, it's the Blues and Oilers. Pregame 7:30. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action beginning at 8. Hear it here on your home for the best Blues coverage, KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. A fan of the producer booth, mostly because of his drawings that are worthy to be inside the art museum in Forest Park. Jerome, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I just thought I'd come up and chat with you guys for a second. And I was telling Mike that I think that Joe Biden basically doesn't have any real social skills nor speaking skills, we'll put it that way, too. And he was trying to straddle the fence of, you know, looking tough on gun crimes and rules. And also he's trying to look like, well, I don't want to take your rights away as an American and so forth of your ability to own a gun if you have the ability to do so. But then he totally put a big old mud pile on top of it by saying, well, the guy that saved everybody's life was He was out of line. How dare he?
Yeah, boy. I don't know how you can criticize that man. There's zero criticism you should be throwing his way right now. And that's something that Vice President Biden should know better. And it's not like he's terrible at debates. He did just fine during the presidential election in 2012. So I don't see him having a... I just don't see why he would do that. I don't know. But he had to have thought about that question. They had to have known it would have come up during an open town hall, and it was the Today Show, after all. I got a question for you, Jerome. So we're talking about commissioning some more artwork. Are you going to be working on anything else anytime soon?
Well, I'm thinking of drawing a picture of you of what I think you may look like.
Yes, do that. I would love to see it.
And I'll probably do some more superhero type stuff or whatever. If you guys have something you would like me to do, I can at least give it a shot.
Okay.
At him.
You know who my favorite superhero is One Punch Man. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I have not.
One Punch Man is an awesome superhero. I'm going to sound like a nerd. It's Japanese anime, but the idea of One Punch Man is that he trained and became the most powerful superhero in the world. And he's so bored by it because no supervillain could challenge him. Like, he easily defeats every challenger, and he's so bored by it because he said, all I wanted were these skills so I can fight bad guys, and there's not one worthy opponent. And it's killing him because of that. It's an awesome superhero story. I like it. One Punch Man.
Wow.
You should check it out.
That reminds me of that episode of Twilight Zone where the guy wanted to be the greatest pool player ever. He ended up becoming the greatest pool player ever. His own personal HE double hockey sticks is that he now has to forever and ever play other people at pool. And actually, I've thought of wrong Twilight episodes. The guy that wanted to be like a big gambler and a big shot.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes to beyond, and then he's like, can't lose. And he's like, why can't I lose? This isn't no fun.
That's part of it. And Jerome, I will keep an eye out. If you do decide to do a drawing of me, I'd love to see what you think I look like.
Well, I will do that. And if I get a look at One Punch Man, I would gladly draw you that. I'll have to look it up on the internet or something.
Yes, he's there. He's pretty popular. And they're basically like a graphic novel type of deal. So there's a bunch of these comics that are out. They come out a couple times a year, I guess. And it used to be a web series, so you can find them, I'm pretty sure, fairly easy. All right, thanks.
Do they open the right direction, or you got to open from right to left or left to right?
Yeah, you have to open them backwards. So they have them translated into English, but you have to read it from back to forward. It's weird because that's how those books work.
Yeah, I knew that because somebody told me, and I have one or two, and I got one at the Dueler Tree, so that was nice.
There you go. All right, Jerome, good to hear from you. Thanks.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
So I'm going to get my drawing next. It's going to be hard to top Mike Anderson's drawing, which, if you haven't seen it, I posted it on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. Maybe I'll have to post it up in a blog, the artwork. We can do like a gallery showing of Jerome's artwork. Wouldn't that be fun? I wonder what he thinks I look like. Mike's already going to make fun of me, I'm sure. First thing Mike noticed was how his back end filled out the jeans in the drawing. So I wonder, Mike, hopefully that's not where your eyes are drawn to on my drawing. Give me that look like, don't you do it. So here's a story that I'm getting from the AP. It's in Paris. Something fairly serious that's happening over in France. They're considering changing the age of legal consent. So it varies from state to state, but for the most part, you're looking at 18 years old here in the United States, all right? In France, the question has been brought up, and they're asking the government to prepare to lower the legal age of consent to 13 years old. Twice in recent weeks, French courts have refused to prosecute men for rape after they have had sex with 11-year-old girls because authorities can't prove they coerced the girls into it. So here in the United States, it doesn't matter if they are willing participants. If you have that with a minor and it's reported, with the lower than the legal age of consent, you're getting into some trouble. In France, they don't want that to happen. Oh, if you're 11, you can do whatever you want with your body, huh? Is that right? So you're saying that you were mentally and physically prepared for something like this at the age of 11? Justice Minister Nicole Boubet, I guess, provoked the I guess, some feminist groups by saying the legal minimum age of 13 is worth considering. Activists have staged a small protest to argue that the age of consent shouldn't be lower than 15. Oh, they'll work on that, huh? 15. Protesters have waved place cards, say, "For him, impunity; for her, a life sentence," in reference to the recent cases. Establish a legal age of consent is one piece of a pending bill to address sexual violence and harassment in France. Oh, that's great. So you're going to try to get rid of the harassment, or maybe try to lose that in the court, saying, you know what, if we just drop it so the legal age is lower, then we don't have to prosecute these people, and then the problem goes away. You see that same garbage here in the United States when it comes to a lot of different laws. You know, if we just legalize it, if we legalize prostitution, wouldn't that be great? The crimes of prostitution would drop everywhere. Wow, how about that? If we just legalize certain drugs, illegal drugs, if we just legalize it, oh, that would be awesome. You know, then we'd be able to just say, hey, look at that. Crime has dropped for that drug in possession and use. Oh, how about that? A French, here's they say, in America, with the Weinstein fallout, there have been illegal investigations, but here, it has been radio silence from politicians because they're afraid to upset the people that think you should be able to do what you want when you want at whatever age, even as low as the age of 11. France is so messed up, man. Just another reason to point that out. All right, coming up next, as we continue, Mitch McConnell is publicly floating the name of Jeff Sessions as a write-in alternative for Roy Moore. Where is that at? And has your opinion changed over the last couple of days? Has your opinion changed? We'll talk about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.